And day by day, the Lord added. Brothers and sisters, we are in the middle of that time between our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus and our remembrance and celebration of the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. Not much really is said about what happened between Easter and Pentecost among the believers. Yes, there was on that day, as we remembered last week, many events as Jesus rose from the dead and others, those who were his followers, shifted their understanding, shifted their whole outlook from gloom to joy. And that's a huge shift. But in the days that followed, 50 days actually, which is what Pentecost means, 50. 50 days between Passover, when Easter took place in the Jewish calendar, and the festival of Pentecost. About all that we've got happening during that time were the disciples trying to figure out a little bit of arithmetic. They had been 12, and now they were 11 with the absence of Judas Iscariot. They had to add another and decide how on earth they were going to do that. And they did so as best they could. But not much more is shared of that time frame. What happened during it? How on earth did these, and I will use the word bumbling, disciples shift from fright, from running away, from denying, and that is all in the account there, to becoming apostles? Now, I don't have a lot of answers for exactly all that, you know, all that might have entailed, but I think it is appropriate that in this time period, as we're looking towards Pentecost, realizing that in the Jewish calendar, Pentecost is a festival that is connected to the cycles of agriculture, the planting. And for the disciples, as they were in that time of shifting from disciple to apostle, which means someone who is sent, and in a sense, sent as a messenger, there was the groundwork, if you will, of God in their lives. As they were planted into the soil of the resurrection message, and they were growing little by little in those 50 days, shifting from being bumbling disciples to apostles who were sent. Now, this morning's scripture reading that you just heard is the tail end of the account of Pentecost. Chapter 2 begins with the wind of the Holy Spirit just blowing through those early believers, the 12 disciples and the other disciples gathered, closeted together in one room, and God kind of blows into that room, blows wide open the doors and the windows, lights a fire on each head and in each heart, and kind of blows them out into the street and sends them forth. That's really, in some ways, the moment when those disciples did their shifting, But please understand that it's a process. It didn't happen just like that. There was growing time. And Pentecost makes that evident. But as I say, this is the tail end of that story, and I don't want to get fully into that story because that's a story for the actual day of Pentecost that we will celebrate later on in June. But here is a snapshot of the early church. And in just the short time that I have to share with you this morning, I just want to lift up this picture and give a little bit of flesh to it and say that here is what we might be, what we truly are as the church, but what we might be, kind of the essentials of what being the body of Christ is all about. Especially in that very first verse that follows the account of the disciples going out into the street and speaking in the various different languages and people wondering what on earth is happening. And Peter, of all people, a common fisherman, standing up and preaching his very first sermon, which touched enough hearts that they were, many people kind of grabbed and pulled to say, okay, what shall we do? And he talks about repentance and he talks about baptism. And on that day, many, many were baptized and the church of Jesus Christ was born. And then it goes in and says, day by day, and that's a significant phrase, day by day, day by day, day by day, God was doing things among them. And it says, what did they do on a day-by-day basis? And catch this, this is day-by-day. This is not just on Sunday morning for 1 hour, maybe two. This is day-by-day in the early church. What did they do? There were four things. Let me lift them up. First, they devoted themselves to, well, the word in Greek is didache, which is teaching. We might call it doctrine, we might call it dogma, but those words, well, doctrine kind of gets us in the direction of indoctrinate, which is kind of a negative word to us in this day and age. But simply, it means just teaching. To the teaching of, not disciples, but the teaching of the apostles. And what were they teaching? What do you suppose they taught? I mean, these were not, the apostles who were disciples were not the trained elite. They didn't go to Pharisee or Sadducee school. They were fishermen, tax collectors, and just common everyday people. But God used them and sent them. But what did they lean on? Well, they were leaning on the teachings of Jesus. These were the teachings of the apostles, but it was really the teachings of Jesus. And as brethren, we have long looked to the core of those teachings as being where? Where do we find a good portion of those teachings besides, you know, all the Gospels? But where do we think of most when we think of the teachings of Jesus? Anyone? The Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now you find all these, you know, these teachings all over the place, but they were basically relating what they had heard. Not only what they had heard, but what they had experienced, because they had experienced his miracles, they had experienced his stories. And stories are a very important part of the teaching. This wasn't, you know, the commandments, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do this. This was also story. And story is very important. The parables of Jesus are key. And the parables don't nail down every answer. Sometimes when we think of doctrine, sometimes when we think of dogma, we think of things being nailed down, just like Martin Luther nailed the theses to the Wittenberg door of the church. But the stories of Jesus opened up the spiritual imagination. And the disciples did the same. Daily, day by day. So the people who were being drawn into the fellowship devoted themselves to didache, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves also to fellowship. Now that is a word we too blithely speak. I mean, we write it on the little placard above our big room where we gather together to eat or do something else. We call it what? A fellowship hall. That fellowship happens in this place. But what is fellowship? The word in Greek is actually koinonia. Koinonia being taken from the word in Greek for common. Koine. Common. Holding things in common. You know, finding our common ground, if you will. Even when we are so very different from one another. And remember, this is Pentecost when people, you know, yes, they were Jews, from all, but they were from all over the world and they had many different outlooks on life. And yet, their whole purpose was to find some commonality, some common ground. And their common ground being kind of the resurrection experience of Jesus. Koinonia is not a simple term. Earlier in service, we read from the Cotton Patch Bible. I don't know if you're at all familiar with this. I have dealt a lot with it. In fact, I was one who was instrumental in getting this online, the whole Cotton Patch version, written by Clarence Jordan. And the place where he kind of sought to, well, it came out of the soil of South Georgia, where a community developed around this person, and they sought to bring blacks and whites together, simply, which was unheard of back in the 50s and 60s. And the Cotton Patch version came out of that. Clarence Jordan's fervent imagination. And it is often, if you listen to that, it's very down to earth. And I hope you found some blessing in that. But the name of his community was Koinonia, and it still exists. If any of you have a desire to learn more, ask me about it. But it is more than just a fellowship hall. It's more than gathering together after church to share some coffee and tea and cookies. It is finding common ground with one another. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And as I shared last week, we don't necessarily in this assume that they're talking about communion. The breaking of bread is just eating together. Whenever God's people gather to eat or to gather together, what's the one of the biggest things we do? We eat. And that's a wonderful thing. I look forward to, and many of our young people especially look forward to, our potluck meals, our covered dish meals. Eating together, sharing our food. Breaking bread. I think it's interesting. I didn't have time to really explore this, but I would like to explore it more. Why, you know, if there's some special significance to breaking as opposed to cutting. Surely they had knives back then. Why wouldn't they cut the bread? Why would they just, you know, but it's the breaking of bread. And I guess the breaking and sharing pieces with one another. Breaking of bread. So the four things, they devoted themselves to didache, the apostles' teaching, they devoted themselves to fellowship, they devoted themselves to breaking bread together, and they devoted themselves to prayer. Those four things are essential in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, as we look ahead to the life of the church, we could do worse than to make those four things central to who we are as the fellowship of Jesus Christ, His church. But the important point that I want to leave us with is something that helps us be less intimidated by these beginning chapters of the book of Acts. Because we turn there and we see the church of Jesus Christ literally exploding. I mean, many verses, well, what verse is it that, that right before this it says in chapter 2, talks about thousands being added. That 3,000 persons were added on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, that there's such big numbers there, and we're intimidated by it. Just like we are intimidated by that word evangelism. You know, we can't do this. We can't reach out. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. The important point is, as I began, and day by day, God did the adding. It is God who adds, not us. It is the Holy Spirit working who truly evangelizes. It is God who brings into the fellowship those who will become, along the way, disciples and apostles.